We're continuing in the Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Birchas Oreach, Halacha Hey, and we're opening a new paragraph within paragraph Zion. It's on page 264, the paragraph that begins with the words V'al Kein. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'al Kein Mekusher Yofe, Ma She'omru. Now you could understand the connection, the beautiful connection, between what the Meraglim said, V'ze Pirya, this is the fruit, Efes kiazom, but the people there are very powerful. This is the fruit, but the people there are incredible powerful. Hainu shomru shahapero is toivim v'nifloim oid. They were saying that the fruit are unbelievably wonderful, delicious. Shezehu moira al hora sarotzain, which implies that these fruit are incredibly desirous, because you know what the ingredient is them? They don't have glucose. And they don't have a syrup, and they don't have emulsifiers, and they don't have coloring. The fruit in Eretz Yisrael has one ingredient. It's wall-to-wall desire. Rotzayn d'kdusha. That's what it's packed with. Hashem has packed it with rotzayn d'kdusha. And that's what makes it so desirous. Even today, when we're in Golos, I'm talking about the year Tovshin Samach Aleph, when this shir is being given, those that have had the privilege of being in Eretz Yisrael and eating its delicious fruit, bechurbona, and then have gone to Chutz Loretz, whether it be to the extraordinary United States of America or to other very, very great places, and tasted their fruit tastes like plastic in comparison. It's like eating plastic. You see a cucumber that's 6 feet tall and 8 feet wide, and you bite into it, and it tastes just... They left out the sugar. They left out the goodness. They left out the what makes it delicious. It looks pretty good, but and then you buy the same thing in Eretz Yisrael, smaller, but it's the real thing. That's what it is. It's the real thing, and this is bechurbona. This is Eretz Yisrael when we're in the thick of Golus. And then they said right afterwards, Ephes, but ki azom, the people there are very, very powerful. The point that they were making was the fruit is desirous, unbelievable. The obstacles are greater. The battle is harder. As much desire, if I'm going to show you the fruit and then I'm going to put a thermometer on you and measure you that your level of desire is 16,000, you need 16 trillion to overcome the obstacles in getting in there. This was the mistake, and this was the lack of faith that the Meraglim had. They denied, they didn't believe, that as strong as the obstacles are, the Rotzayn is stronger. Now, the obstacles are very powerful, but Hashem has given a human being, and especially a Jew, the ability to outflank them, to outdo them 10 times over, a billion times over. V'heim amru ha'hepech mizem mamish, whereas they said just the opposite. Ki amru efes kiazom. They started great. They started off great. You guys, Shishno, Eretz Yisrael is the most desirous place in the world. But forget it, man. No shot in the world. You want to end up dead? You want to come to Eretz Yisrael to get buried? Fine, let's go. That was their line. Shahamaniyos gedoylim v'chazokim yeharotzayim. They were implying that the obstacle, as much as we want, of course, all of us want to get, what's the shaila? Everybody wants to get there. But. That's all but. Ad she'yef shalovoy l'Eretz Yisrael me'etzamaniyos. But they were saying that the obstacles are so powerful where it's impossible for us to be able to succeed in getting into Eretz Yisrael. Ki omru she'ein koyach l'shabro ma'idei rotzayin. They were telling Klal Yisrael, we can't get into Eretz Yisrael. We can't overcome the obstacles that are there. Ma she'be'emes hu lehefech hanal. Whereas the truth is the exact opposite of what they were saying. V'al kein, and this is why their pigam, their sin, was very, very, very great, because they were denying one of the most important tenets of Yiddishkeit. v'garmul b'chiyo l'doyros. By the way, I wanted to mention, I forgot before, when Rav Nosson Zal mentioned about the Beis Hamikdash, Eretz Yisrael is the land of Rotzon, and the Beis Hamikdash is the essence of it. Rav Nosson Zal, in other places in Kodei Halachos, talks about this also very elaborately, and one of the places there he throws in that you see when the Torah speaks about karbonos. What are the karbonos called? Zivchei Rotzon. And throughout, tens of times throughout the Torah, when it speaks about bringing karbonos, L'rtzoinchem tizbachu, rotzoin, all, that's what it's all about. V'gormu b'chiel adoyros, and the Meraglim caused Klal Yisrael to have to cry for generations. Chorban bayis rishon, v'ubayis sheni, the destruction of the first and second Batei Mikdoshes. Ki kol kiyum habeis hamikdosh, shehu klal avoidas u'kdushas Yisrael, hu'al yidei ha'rotzoin v'cheshik didushukanam. Because what is the Beis Hamikdash all about? What is the whole kiyum of the Beis Hamikdash, which is a composite of all the avodah of all of Klal Yisrael put together? The Beis Hamikdash is like a microcosm of all of the avodah of all Klal. You know what it's all about? One thing, wall-to-wall rotzayim. And cheshik, kishom beBeis Hamikdash kol horechois v'chola karbonoi sha'ilam l'rotzayim. Because the Beis Hamikdash is the place that had this incredible aroma, Har HaMoiria it's called, this delicious smell, and the center of Rotz, of Karbonos, which all are Oila L'Rotzayim, to act, to bring forth a desire from Hashem, a satisfaction, Kemoi Shekosu, L'Rotzayinchem Tizbachuhu, V'chein Harbe, and this is mentioned repeatedly many times throughout the Torah, Uchsiv, Ishei Reach Nichoyach LaHashem. And the word Nichoyach is Nachas Ruach. It's a combination, Nunches, Vovches. It's the beginning of the word Nachas and the end of the word Ruach. Nachas Ruach, which is again a Rotzon Toiv. V'ikra Tikun Hoyal Yidei Yoshua V'Kolev. And what was the Tikun for the Meraglim? Who were the people who saw to it that Klal Yisrael was not wiped out completely as a result of the Meraglim? Two of them that made it. Yeshua and Kolev, Sheheminu LeDivrei Moshe, because they had faith, they believed in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Sheish Koyach Bohorotzin Vacheshek Lizgabra Lamanios Afal Pishamanios Mishtachin Moid Moid, at Shenitme Sheyev Shabashumoy from the Shabram, Afal Pikain Srichim Lizchazek Borotzin Kanal. They had faith in the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu, that despite the fact that the obstacles are very strong, very powerful, we have the ability to overcome them. The Rotzon Kedusha, the potential of Rotzon that a Jew has, far, far, far exceeds the strength of any and all obstacles that can be put in their path. V'alkein omru oloi na'ale v'yorashnoisa. And this is why Yehoshua and Kolev said, we're going up there, we're going to conquer it. And the Gemara says, their words were, Afilu oimer lenu asu sulamos valu lashamayim oloi nale. If Moshe Rabbeinu tells us, make ladders and go up to heaven, no problem. We'll go right up. Kein shum minia boilam. What were they implying by that statement? They were saying, there is no obstacle. There's nothing too difficult. There's nothing too hard. That possibility doesn't exist. Because if a person has the right desire, the right intense desire, they can jump over everything. They can make it through everything. There's a famous story that I've told many times that I heard from Rabbi Chaim Rosen, Zichron Avrocha, where he said that two of the Talmidim of the Mezritch Magid said that their greatest inspiration, among their greatest inspiration, came from a goy. There was one time, Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zusha, that they decided to take upon themselves golos. You know, for the sake of the Shechin, just like the Shechin is in golos, they're going into golos too. These people who could have lived in a beautiful home, and they could have had tremendous respect, and they wanted the other way. They wanted extreme poverty and exile. Leave home and just wanderers, wander around for a year or two that they did it. And one of the days that they would do, after months of not eating properly and not, you know, exhaustion, and it was a burning hot day, very hot day, and they're walking on the road, and they felt they have to go under some trees, you know, to get some shade, to cool off, to relax a little. So they sit down, totally wiped out on the trees, that, you know, just relaxing a little bit in the shade, and they see a wagon coming up the road. A guy is driving it, he's sitting way up on top, and it's loaded with hay, big bales of hay. And the guy's sitting all the way up on top and trying to move slowly, gently with the wagon, because he knows that if the wagon does any tipping to the side, a bale of hay will go toppling down, and the guy has to stop the wagon and climb all the way down and get it and start climbing all the way up and put it back in place and get into a seat. The last thing in the world this guy wants to see is, you know, for something to fall off. Sure enough, just as he's getting close to where they are, the thing hit, the wheel hits a rock a little bit, and a bale of hay goes tumbling down. So the guy starts cursing in Russian. It's a goy, a Polish or a Russian, cursing. And then he sees these two sitting over there on this, you know, a little bit off the road, under a tree. So he figures, this is it, he's saved. So he yells out to them in Russian, Zhid, you know, please, throw up the thing, you know, come here and toss it up to me, I'll be your best friend, you know. They look at him, and they look at each other, and they look at him again, and they say, can't, sorry, can't, we can't do it. He looked at them and he screamed in Russian, you can, you don't want to. And they said that this stayed with them for the rest of their lives. They had this ringing in their heads all the time that the goy said, you can, you don't want to. You can, you don't want to. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph Ches, V'zeh b'chinas ma'shenis ma'parshas menochis nesochim l'parshas meraglim. Now you'll understand an interesting thing. That take a look in Parsha Shlach, which happens by coincidence to be this week's Parsha. This shir is being given on Chof Gimel Sivan, Tovshin Samach Aleph, which we read this week on Monday and at Shalashudis last week, and Monday and Thursday, and this question, we're just reading about this. If you look right after the story of the Meraglim, that's when Hashem starts telling the Jews about the Korban Minchas and the Nesochim that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash. Kemo Shekosv, as it says over there, V'nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha, if a Jew will bring a korban mincha, u'kama shapirish Rashi, and Rashi says over there, lo'y ne'mar nefesh elo b'mincha. Note, when the Torah speaks about all other sacrifices, it says, odom ki akriv mikem, or it says, ish ki akriv. When it comes to mincha, which is the cheapest, the least expensive of all the sacrifices, it uses the word nefesh ki akriv. So Rashi says over there, mi darkoi lahakriv mincha, what kind of Jew brings a korban mincha? Oni, a poor person. Malal ani olov kilu hikriv nafshoi. So you're going to think, Hashem looks at that, Hashem isn't impressed with that, Hashem's impressed with that big, fat, delicious ox that the Oshir brings in for his korban oilo, or his korban shlomim, weighing in at 6,000 pounds, all of those delicious steaks, sirloin and eye and all this stuff. Rashi says that who's the one who brings a mincha? Anoni. Hashem says, Malani olov kilu hikriv nafshoi. When the Oni brings his little handful of flour with the oil, I will credit it as if he sacrificed his life, as if he sacrificed his nefesh on the Mizbeach. Rav Nosson Zal says, nefesh zebechinas rotzoin veishtoikikus chozok b'mesiris nefesh. If you recall, we learned a few pages ago that the word nefesh means desire. We quoted the pasuk by the Moros HaMapele, im yesh es nafshechem, if you want me to bury my wife here, then sell me the Moros HaMapele. Nefesh means rotzon, desire. Ki kol hakorbonoi shel behemois ve'oifois shesoimchem aleim ve'shoichtem oisom zebechinas zvichas hayetzer kemuva. Because it's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Hasidus, that when a Jew would bring a behemo or an oif to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would do the smicha, they would put their hands on it, the Kohen would, that was it, and they would shecht it. What was being shechted was the person's yetzer hara. When they put their hands on the korban, they were transferring their yetzer hara, their ra, their evil, onto this animal. Killing the animal was killing my ra, killing the ra inside of me. Aval hamincha ein bo shchita. The only sacrifice where there's no shechting involved is korban mincha, because it's flour. Vehi bechinas korban oni. That's the korban of a poor person. Ki ein oni ela min adas, because we know that the true poverty in this world is a person who's poor in seichel. Hainu mishehu oni b'maisim toivim. Ve'ein boi das lezboyach es yitzroi legamri. We're talking about a person who's lacking in mitzvahs, meaning he doesn't have the das to be strong enough to stand up to his yetzara, to shecht his yetzara. He's not at a level, he isn't on a level, a madrega, to shecht his yetzara yet. V'yafal pikein hu roitze lahakrev korban Hashem. But he still wants to give something to Hashem. I'm not ready to give up all my midas rois and tivet my yetzara. I'm not ready to bring an ox and shecht it. But I want to give something to Hashem at least. So the Torah gives this poor man advice. You want to give something? Give yourself. Give your soul. Give your rotzon to Hashem. Shezeo b'chinas korban mincha. That's the korban mincha. Shenemar boi nefesh. Shehu korban oni. She'ein bo shum shchita. V'yafal pikein. Yikora ma'oid b'einei Hashem izborach. Me'achar sheretzoinoi chozo kol kach l'Hashem izborach. Ad shegam hu ba'aniyusoi hagdoilo. Eino m'nei atzmo v'akrav korban Hashem. Ha'inu b'chinas korban mincha. Shebchinas nefesh b'chinas rotzon. Whereby Rav Nosanzal says that despite the fact that this person is acknowledging that he's not on a madrega, he's not ready to bring his Yetzahara here and shecht it, but still he's not using that as an excuse, like many people do. Well, if I can't do the whole thing, then I ain't going to do nothing. No, I can't do the whole thing, but I still want to do. I still want to give. I can't give $1 million. I'll give $20. I want to give what I can, that kind of thing. That's incredibly precious to Hashem. Hashem loves that, because the person shows that his desire is so solid that he's not gonna say what 99% of the people, wait till I get rich, wait till I make 12 million, then I'll write you the check. No, none of that stupidity. You came, first thing a check. How big the check is based on what I can give. But first thing, a check. And then promises, pledges. If I make this, I'll give you that, but something, I want to give something. That shows desire. That shows that the person has such a desire that he can't let the guy walk out without a penny. He wants so desperately that even though it's going to be embarrassing and insulting to him a little, that he can't give the check for $26,000 like he would like to. Tough nugs. I'll give $2,600. I'll give $26,000. I don't care. But I have to give. I want to give. I'm dying to give. This is what the korban mincha is all about. Shu b'chinas nefesh, b'chinas rotzaim. V'ze b'chinas goydel yikras kedushas tfilas ha-mincha. And this is why the tfila of mincha is so incredibly special to Hashem. Kama Shem Razal, as the Gemara says in Brochus, lo'oilom yehayodom zohir b'tfilas ha-mincha. That a Jew should be extremely careful about davening mincha, about making sure that their tefillah of mincha is something special. V'hikshu ha-poiskim, and the poiskim ask, lomo nikras mincha? Why is it called mincha? Haloi gam ba-boiker hikrivu mincha. If you want to say it's because they brought a korban mincha in the afternoon, so what? There was a korban mincha in the morning also in the Mishkan. Why is this tefillah of the afternoon called mincha? V'tirutzam dochuk. And Rav Nosanzal says, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, if you look at the rabbis who ask this question, and they offer answers, their answers are difficult. Their answers don't ring loud and clear. Ach ikar hamshochas harotzoin tzrichim lizgaber b'yoyser v'yoyser lahamshich b'shas tfilas hamincha. However, Rav Nosanzal says, I'd like to suggest an answer to this question. You know what the answer is? When does a Jew have to arouse the strongest rotzoin nikdusha? In the afternoon, mincha time. You know why? She'oz tukfa dedina shalta kama shekosu b'zohar HaKodesh. Because the Zohar HaKodesh says that the most difficult time of the day is the afternoon. When the day is starting to draw to a close. It's finished. In the morning, most normal people get up charged. Ready, he's going to do it. After they finish the lunch and they're toning down. person gives him anything important. What are you giving to me now? What are you talking about? I'm ready to go home now. Come tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. That you walk into any bank in Eretz Yisrael, where they do any work. You know, after 9:15, it's all over. It's the afternoon already. We're coming to them, asking to do a big job, fill out a whole form and everything. You know, crazy? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that the afternoon is a time during the week, during the 6 days of the week, where there's a midas hadin that's shorter than shemishom kol hamaniyos meavodas Hashem yisborach, and that midas hadin is what makes it difficult for a person to learn or to have his bodedus or to be working on all four engines, you know, rolling on the, you know, as the afternoon, you know, late afternoon, as the afternoon. V'alkein his hiru razal ma'oid beyoser shaloi lachar tfilas hamincha. And this is why the Gemara warns more than in other places that a Jew should be very, very careful not to miss davening mincha and not to daven mincha too late. V'hichmiru boze ma'oid. And the rabbis imposed all kinds of chumras, which we don't usually see by other things. Much, much stricter when it comes to this than other things. K'mo shekoseh b'mishnah, as it says in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, lo yeshev odom lufnei ha-sapor. You're not allowed to sit, you're not allowed to take a haircut. V'lo yilecho, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to do this. Don't do anything the second you're allowed to daven mincha. Why? G'zeira shemo yimosh. Because we're afraid maybe you'll get involved and you'll miss mincha. You'll miss davening mincha. What is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us you should know that the obstacles then are stronger than they are in the morning or at other time. That's the time when the manias are the greatest, when the Eitzahara is mizgaber most, as the day is starting, as the sun crosses that midpoint, after 12 o'clock. Because the Eitzahara feels he's got the best shot at blocking you from being serious, because you got the best excuse. The day's almost over. Some people the day is over 5 o'clock. Some people the day starts ending from 12:01. They're already on the other side of over the mountain. Machmas shezmano be'emtza hayoyim. Dahinu achar chatzois hayoyim. Because of the fact that tefillah samincha comes out in middle of the day, after midday, ba'eis shehoilam trudim b'masamatnu parnasosam, when most people are in the thick of their work. You know, they're involved in whatever they're doing for business, whether it's computers, whether it's in the fruit store. That's when things have started rolling. People start coming into the store, you know, at 9, 10, 11, after 12, 1, 2, that's when things are starting to happen. Shemehem kol hamaniyos ne'ashem yisborach. And we know that parnosa is one of the greatest maniyas from mitzvahs and ma'as and tov, everything. V'oz tzorech odom lezgaber b'yoyser b'retzoynos chazokim v'kisufim gedoylem v'ishtoykikus nimrotz la'ashem yisborach. And therefore, a Jew has to turn it on all the way at that time. That's when he's got to really, really put everything he has into the Avodas Hashem, into not losing where he's up to, where he's at, and what his goal is, and what his purpose, what his mission is in life. Said even when he's in the middle of all of those phone calls, people are calling for jobs, in the thick of it, he shouldn't forget what he came to this world for. That he came to this world to serve Hashem. That's what he's really here for. Shezeu ha'ikar, ukamai shezhiru azal alzeh ma'oid bekama makoimois. As the Gemara warns about this super severely, with super powerful terms, in many places, the Gemara doesn't just mention this in one place, in many places. Vezeh bechinas tfilas hamincha. And this is the whole concept of the tfilas mincha. Ki ha'tfila bechinas rotzayn. Because what is tfila? What is tefillah? We said, what is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is Rotzayn. What is tefillah? Tefillah is an expression of the person's Rotzayn. In tefillah, a person says what he wants. Hashem, I want to thank you. You know what I want? There's nothing more in the world than to thank you for all the wonderful things that you did for me yesterday in the world. That's the Shevach Vodah. Part two of the tefillah. What's part two of the tefillah? Hashem, please, I want to have a house where I can serve you. I want to be able to set up my children in a way that they should be able to serve you. I want it. Tefillah is an expression of all the ritzonos of the person. That's what it's all about. Ki hi avoida shebalev. Because the Gemara in Taina says, what is tefillah? Ula ovdoi b'chol levavchem. To serve Hashem with your whole heart. The Gemara says, ezeu avoida shebalev. What service is there that comes from the heart? Have you ever said tefillah? That's tefillah, the Gemara says. And what is the heart? The heart is the rotzlin of the person, the desire of the person. I don't have my heart in this. What does that mean? When a person wants to say they don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, my heart isn't in it. Right? Ach ikar hizgabrus harotzlin srichim b'shas mincha. However, the time that a person has to try hardest to activate their rotzlin is daiket mincha time. Ki ikar hahamtoka v'hatikun shel tefillas mincha b'choil Nimshach mi mincha shel Shabbos. Because where do we draw the power to be mamtik the toikef hadin of mincha during the 6 days of the week? You know where it comes from? From the mincha of Shabbos. That's where we draw the energy and the sweetening power and everything to be mamtik the midas hadin of of the 6 days of the week. She'oz ikra ha'oras ha'rotzayim. And we know that on Shabbos, at mincha time, is the time when there is the greatest ha'oras ha'rotzayim of any time, period. That's the most intense ha'oras ha'rotzayim that there could ever be. Ki'oz raivo deraivin ki'odua bezoyer. The Zoyer HaKadosh refers to that time. Shabbos mincha time is called rotzayim sheberetzayinus. V'alkei nekra zoyis ha'tfila daika b'shem mincha. And now you could understand why the tefillah is called mincha. Ki oz tzrichin b'yoyser lizgaper lahamshech alatzmai ritzoynois chazokim l'ashem yizborach. Because that's the time when a Jew has to try to draw upon himself, to activate, to turn on intense feelings of desire for Hashem. Shezeo b'chinas mincha kanal. That's what the mincha is all about, as we explained earlier. The guy who doesn't have a million, but what does he have? He has desire. He has much more desire than the millionaire. In most cases, the millionaire can't compare in desire because the millionaire doesn't have to desire. It's there. The person who doesn't have, in order for him to give, he's got to really, really want to give. To be able to give what you don't have, that takes incredible rotzayim digdusha. That's why Rav Nosenzal, when he built a shul in Uman, when it was complete, he turned around. The first time he was about to come in, and he said, "I don't know how this shul got built. I don't know if it was the money of the wealthy guys, or if it was the desires of the poor people. I don't know which one got the job done: the ritzoinos of the aniyim or the kesef of the ashirim. I don't know which played a stronger role." V'alkein nismecho parshas menochos leparshas meraglim, and this is why the Torah places the Parshas Mincha, Korb Mincha, right near the story of the Meraglim. Ki b'chinas menuchos heim tikun ha-meraglim shepogmu b'rotzlein. Because that's the tikun for the pegama of the Meraglim. The pegama of the Meraglim was pegama ha-rotzlein. The tikun for it is Korban Mincha. That's the main tikun for the pegama of the Meraglim. Ki ha-idei Korban Mincha mamshichin horas ha-rotzlein k'nal. The Korban Mincha is the most powerful thing in drawing rotzlein. Which is what will lead to a complete tikkun for everything, and will be zecha to return to Eretz Yisrael soon. Amen. Ken yehi ratzayim. May that be the will of Hashem. As a result of what we learned here, what Rav Nosenzal wanted was lemaisa, that after learning this, our mincha every day, our afternoon, should be different. Should be new with his chachas, with simcha, with tremendous rotzayim to Hashem, and our tefillas mincha, both during the 6 days of the week and especially on Shabbos, the one time a week that we say vani sefilosi lecho Hashem eis rotzayim elokim baruv chazdech anein mincha, and the one day in the week that we read the sefer Torah, we open the Aron Kodesh. That opening the Aron Kodesh is opening the Shari Rachman. The one who opens the Aron Kodesh, the Heichal, is opening the gates of kindness in heaven, literally. It's prime time for a person. If a person has any specific need to beg Hashem for it, imagine Shabbos at Mincha when the Aron Kodesh is open. Imagine what it means for a person to be mispalled then. To be new and improved as a result of what we learned in Tzashem.